I believe that our system is completely broken, and I believe that we have not sufficiently publicly acknowledged the magnitude of the problem. It is not one or two bad apples. It is a systematic problem that may be exacerbated by having a couple of staff who are more abusive, but the system is fundamentally broken. My first month on the council, I asked the leadership of CETA why we didn't prioritize institutional repeat offenders. There are banks and large investment conglomerates that, through foreclosures, through predatory loans, and through sleazy banking practices, have come to acquire thousands of properties in Oakland, which they do not upkeep. Multi-billion dollar corporations that have the money that choose to blight Oakland because they make more profit by not bothering to upkeep those properties. And I asked why we're not prioritizing those type of intentional repeat offenders rather than a low-income resident who's struggling to upkeep their property. For 2.5 years, I was told they're working on it, and they can't figure out how to make their computers print out a report that identifies the repeat offenders. Now, thankfully, our new city administrator, who also hails from MIT, perhaps can help them with this problem. But, you know, if you need to hire a tech expert to export your database into something like anything else on earth that's been invented in the last 10 years that could sort by owner, then that should have been done 2.5 years ago. And the fact that the report says it's going to take them another year and a half is insane. We should be able to have that data within a month, because we should be able to target the repeat, and Audit Oakland CETA has already done a bunch of it, because there's no excuse for us to be avoiding targeting the repeat offenders because our senior staff says they can't figure out how to work their database, and have been saying that to me for 2.5 years, that they're not targeting repeat offenders because they can't figure out how to make their computer database work to sort by owner. So, you know, it is more than just a couple of bad apples. However, on the issue of specific abusive practices, I believe it should be an absolute policy that someone who's working in code enforcement should not be allowed to be moonlighting as a contractor and hitting up people they're enforcing against to hire them as a contractor. That should just be not allowed, period. Nor should they be allowed to reference their friends, relatives, business partners, et cetera. Or working as a realtor and using those processes. In addition, we need people to understand certain things, like it is our policy to discourage people from planting northern grass lawns because northern grass lawns are destructive to the environment and the water table. So when people plant drought-resistant native plants and then are told their lawn doesn't look neat, we have a problem. We need to make clear that that is our policy. Clearly, we need an appeals process that works. That's been said many times. I would expect that will be part of our coming revisions, and that means the person to whom you appeal cannot be the same person, nor the boss of the same person, who put the lien in the first place. I want to say a couple things specifically about prospective liens. I know prospective liens was only one subject in a long report, but I think the prospective liens issue really helps us hone in on the systemic problem. I believe that our resolution, and I'm certainly willing to support all the things in Councilmember Bruner's draft, but I'd like it to include a council policy banning prospective liens, because staff has said they're going to—thank you. Staff has said they have implemented it, but first of all, they could unimplement it at any time absent a council resolution. And it's not clear what they're doing with the prospective liens they'd already placed prior to their claim that they've stopped them. So I think we need to explicitly ban prospective liens. And I've been very troubled over the years Every time I've asked why we do prospective liens, I feel that the answer is incoherent. The stated answer, and I want to say on our city administrator's responses, which I thought overall were quite on point, this one response I can't support, and it's in the official record now. It's recommendation 11-18. It justifies prospective liens on the grounds that it gives notice to a prospective buyer that there may be a problem with the property. I think our staff doesn't understand that the placing of the prospective lien is the problem. It's why the property owner can't get a home improvement loan to fix the thing we're ordering them to fix. And in any given year, a tiny fraction of properties turn over. So the notion that we would put these destructive prospective liens on thousands of properties on the theory that 0.1% of them might be being considered to be bought by a buyer who didn't bother to get an inspection and therefore needs our prospective lien to give them notice is ridiculous. We're destroying thousands of people's ability to get a home improvement loan in order to protect the 0.1% of properties that might be being prospectively bought by a buyer who couldn't bother to do an inspection or get a 3R report. I mean, I have not heard yet from anyone any valid justification for prospective liens. And so if there is one, it hasn't yet been stated to us. So I think those should be eliminated entirely. In addition to conducting a full review of house demolitions in the past, which I fully support, I believe we should add a policy that no more homes may be demolished without the personal sign-off and personal review by the city administrator of the specific case. No mid-level person should be able to decide to destroy someone's house, particularly given all the concerns we've gotten on it. And in addition, I think the point's been made that it isn't only about more enforcement or less enforcement, but how it's being targeted. One of the other areas where there's concern about not enough, actually, is on some commercial properties where people complain that there's blight and it looks like it's a big company and therefore it looks like the city isn't doing anything about it. So I'm not asking to add that to the resolution tonight, but I think that warrants further investigation going forward. So it's not just that we want to get less strict across the board, nor that we want to get more strict across the board, but we need to really look at how we're handling repeat offender institutional owners as opposed to individual property owners who may be struggling to actually make improvements, as well as the issue of whether there is enforcement being done for retributional reasons, which I think we've heard sufficient testimony that that's a real concern that we should be investigating. I do want us to hear back. I believe this will need to come to us in closed session on the issue, the personnel matter of misconduct that may warrant for cause removals or possibly other disciplinary action. It's my understanding that that has to come in closed session, but I don't want us to avoid that issue altogether of whether there's been any review, and if not, whether any of the allegations should be giving rise to for cause removals of personnel or other disciplinary actions. In terms of the actual motion that's been proposed by Councilmember Bruner, I would, just the two things I would suggest adding to that, though the other things I would want to add long term, would be no new house demolitions without the city administrator's personal sign off. And no new prospective liens. And I believe we need to do something about the prospective liens that are now pending as well. Thank you very much.